right, man. Welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 694. Jason Lingren is with me, and Dr. Trebbing returns. We got a hot one here. Dr. Trebbing has just done a study, much like the one, but more expansive than the one we covered with Masterpiece. I'm going to get straight to it here. All those people out there that have been causing trouble, trying to defame, well, Masterpiece as one of the things they're doing, but Zeolite in general, have just identified themselves, and you will see why I'm saying that. It's not just that they're rude, to be polite about it. They're literally identifying themselves as trying to defame something that works. There are two top performers in what we're about to cover. And by the way, what we're covering is the MAC address, the signal that is coming out of human beings. The two big performers here were Borax and Zeolite, but there is another player, and we're going to cover it verbatim here to lay it down. But I want to be perfectly clear. Up to last week, I was still getting emails from people being scared by agents of the system doing their damnedest to degrade and defame and demoralize those who are using a product that is now proven to work. This is the third study that we are adjacent to. The first one was Masterpiece that we covered. There's another one going on in Mexico, and Trebbing, I think, may have the biggest or very close to the biggest. We'll find out when we get in. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a hot and sweaty Louisiana good morning.
Anything you want to say to the people who have taken it upon them to try to defame something that actually works?
Well, here's the problem, because I've had these discussions with a few people as well. They're hearing the people, the naysayers, and they're taking it and running with it. And as I've tried to tell them, sorry, you are wrong.
My thing is, it's one thing to be just a rude person who likes to cause controversy or chooses a side just because they want to. But when this much effort is expended on something that is literally proven to do something critically well, that's a whole other thing. That identifies you as an agent of the system in my book. So all you folks out there playing the "I'll make a clip and scare people," you're identifying yourself at this point, because there are clinical field studies that are being laid down now that show what you are doing. Anyhow, welcome, Dr. Trebbing.
Thank you, all my friends. Thank you, Crow. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Rose. Nice to be back here with y'all. Say a little bit more about that. Are they people naysaying zeolites now? And I know they do the same thing with borax, just simple boron, but what's happening in the community with the zeolite defamation?
Well, the easiest one to finger is the one that was going on around Masterpiece. Jason, I remember they were threatening a lawsuit. I don't know. Did that legal action ever happen? Do you know?
Not that I know of, but don't quote me on that.
Who was threatening a lawsuit?
I'm not going to name names. Anyone can go back and listen to the episodes. It's not my job to defame people here. It's my idea to cover ideas or defame bad ideas. But you can go back to the Masterpiece episodes, and it was more than one person who are kind of tied in quasi, I guess, to the medical community. But they were coming hard, saying things like it was putting nanotech in bodies and just unbelievable things, basically just trying to scare people away from a thing that you have demonstrated for the third time recently that works.
Well, they've been around, zeolites have been around, it's basically pond sludge residue, you know, for eons. You know, and it's just ridiculous that anybody would defame it. I mean, there's pollution everywhere. There's toxins everywhere. Yeah, I guess I could get within any sample, but we're talking, that's a ubiquitous problem. But it sounds like an AI program to defame anything that really works. And we know that that's running rampant today.
Well, I think I can safely say, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, that these attacks precede the open onset of AI, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. But let's, well, wait a minute. Let me not jump the gun. Can you please lay down where people can find you, your work, your books? By the way, Dr. Trebbing has a book that should be in every household. Can you mention these things, please?
Thank you, Crow. Yeah, that's Goodbye Germ Theory. Most of your listeners are familiar with it, I believe. And you can get it right here on Crow's website. It's you have a link for it on
sponsorship
your
sponsorship page.
Yeah. Yep, on your sponsorship page. So I wrote that book talking about the fallacy of the germ theory and thus medications and thus vaccines. I interviewed Fauci, put him in the book back when I originally wrote it in 1997. And when it was published in 2001, too, I was the first person to know who he was. Look at where he is now, huh?
You were a bit ahead of the game there. What about websites? Your books are all on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. Ex Libris is my preferred one if you don't want to deal with the devil on Amazon. Exlibris.com, Punching Goodbye Germ Theory or Trebbing, you'll find the book. Also Audible. You can find it there. And we'll put in the links, my other links that I've had on the show before, saynotovaccines.org, a lot of great information. And for consultations with me, you could always just go to drwilliamtrebbing@yahoo.com. And the website is drwilliamtrebbing.com. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Okay, there it is. Jason, I kind of feel like we should lay down the first page of the study PDF. Are you looking at it? Do you agree with me?
Okay, so this is from Dr. Trebbing. After hearing about the results derived from the masterpiece study I read and originally heard about from the popular show Crow 777, 425 through 625, I decided to launch my own investigation using the same or similar Bluetooth detection apps before and after the administration of three different groups of remedies with one control group. My study commenced in September of 2025, and due to bad weather in the Northeast, USA, finalized in March of 2026. The study involved 126 patients from my private practices in Fairfield County, Connecticut. The objective was to search for similar or the same Bluetooth signals with MAC addresses, similar to the Mexican study commenced by Dr. Zavala, the Spanish study commenced by Dr. De Benito, as well as the above-mentioned masterpiece study. The assumption in many circles of study regarding this topic, as well as mine, is the toxic levels of graphene substances, known as graphene dioxide or graphene oxides, contained within the human body, either by ubiquitous industrial pollution, either routinely or intentionally added to the environment for such purpose, play a key role in the functionality and or creation of what is commonly called nanotech, or otherwise microscopic technology intentionally placed into the human framework to be used for multiple measures of control over the population. We began testing varying patients at our treatment facilities who were willing to participate in the study and very interested in the results. Out of 600 potential files asked to participate, 126 volunteered.
All right. I'm going to give you the title of this study, Dr. Trebbing's results, well, this paper that we're reading, Dr. Trebbing's results on Bluetooth signals coming from the human body investigation. So Dr. Trebbing, what follows is the data. And as opposed to me going through, maybe you can lay it down in a very portioned, clean way so that people can easily digest the success of what you demonstrated, the pitfalls and the risk factors involved, the risks not being what was ingested, but what people came to the study with already in their body.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, the math is great for nerds like me. I like to get into this stuff, but, you know, the end result is what people really want to know. If I were to summarize it up, it was very similar to the three studies, especially the masterpiece study and the other two that you mentioned there above. And we had a larger sample than the other studies. And a lot of it centered around receiving the death shot, you know, the COVID-19 poison shot. Many people were concerned and they had heard that it was placing things inside them and altering their genetics and yada yada, putting technology inside them. They just really wanted to know about it.
Which you prove at some level.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you have to have a place for a clean signal. That's one of it. One of the areas. We have a somewhat clean area within our offices. And then we backed that up, and I have some pictures in here to show you the field and let everybody know that we're in a very clean area so that we were able to get like no signal until the person actually showed up, which is pretty cool. I mean, they show up and boom, they start hitting the BLE scanner device as soon as they jump into the parking lot of the park that I was at.
So let me define. So he's saying he has a relatively clean spot in the office. When he says clean, we're talking about electromagnetic signals that could interfere with the measurements that he's detecting coming off people. In the paper, there's a little map that shows where he went to find what he's calling a clean spot, that clean spot being free of electromagnetic signals. So go ahead.
Yeah, because when you use what's called the BLE scanner, which is a free app anybody can get, you guys have heard of that, right?
Yep.
You know, from the other studies. Yep. And there are several other ones. This one is particularly good with iPhone. There are several other ones you can get for Android. I mean, they all work, you know, more or less the same. If you're around just your neighborhood, they're going to get like every single Bluetooth noise that's there. It's very difficult to find an open, clean space. So you have to get into the woods somewhere. So I found that. And my main objective was to, you know, I was very intrigued after listening to your show here, Crow, and Jason, about the potentials for this, right? And about what could help. Because people hear about, well, gee, I have all this stuff in me now from either a vaccine or from graphene that I'm eating. Graphene and graphene oxides are, they're an industrial pollution. They're all over the place.
Ubiquitous.
And you don't only get them through eating, you get them through chemtrails, you get them through picking up your tennis racket. Okay. I mean, they're just in everything. And so it's impossible to not have them in your body, but to certain extents that they want them in our bodies, really, really like densely in most of our connective tissues. These are the magnetic metals that are thought to perpetuate whatever nanotech is being put in us and also being driven by whatever they put up during COVID, all of the microwave technology that they purposely put up when everybody was hunkered down and locked in their houses, right? So this is a real concern for everyone. I know you guys get quite a bit of questions about this too, do you not?
We do. Let me cue it up with page 2, and we'll start to outline the study group you did. It starts with 4 groups, A, B, C, and D. One of the things that was administered to be tested, there were 3 things: blue-green algae, borax, and basically zeolite or masterpiece, very similar thing. So the administration of the blue-green algae had 4 groups, A, B, D, and C. There were 18 people from group A, 4 people from group B, 1 person from group C, and 9 people from group D. There was also a control group. Again, 4 groups, A, B, C, and D. 18 people from A, 2 people from B, 1 person from C, and 9 from D. As we move along here, we're going to define the zeolite mixture in the same way. Well, wait a minute. Is there a better, maybe there's a better way to do this?
Yeah, it's a little complicated the way it's done. And people, you know, you're going to have this study up, PDF up in the comments section, right? For people to be able to access.
Yeah, I think what we should do is go straight to the results. That'll be the easiest way to do it because we will have this available. So that starts to happen on page 3 if you want to do the definitions.
Yeah, I think also importantly is to identify the groups, right?
Right.
They were centered around who received the COVID shot. And group A, they were 72 people in that group, and they had just received 1 shot. Group B, 1 or 2 shots. There were 14 people there. Group C received 3 or more. I only had 4 people in that group, thank God, and refused the COVID shot. I had 36 people in there. So we tested them before and after the remedies. So before the remedies, those who came up positive for the MAC addresses, which is what the BLE scanner identifies, those who came up positive for some sort of signal, a Bluetooth signal, were heaviest in group A and group B with the COVID shots. That's the 1 and the 2 shots. Or actually, no, the heaviest in those who received, I only had 4 in group C who received 3 or more doses, and every single one of them came up with a MAC address. And as everybody would guess, group D, who refused the COVID shot, only 8% of those in the 36 people showed up with a signal. So right there, there's a correlation between the COVID shot and some sort of graphene or technology being placed inside the person.
Right. So just let me sum this real quick. So the people who received 1 dose of Covidius minimus, 81% of them discovered MAC address. The people who took 2 doses of COVID, 86% of them. Then the people who had 3 or more doses, 100%. But here's the real clincher. Of the 36 people who declined any kind of COVID shot, only 8% of them had a detectable MAC address. Go ahead, Dr. Trebbing.
Yeah, which indicates that you would hope that group would be 0, right?
So right.
Where else is it coming from?
Right.
Yeah, so that's one of the main interesting points that I picked up. So then, you know, the weather was pretty bad this winter, as everybody knows, in the Northeast. It really hindered the study a bit. We had to have everybody wait. They, for the most part, consisted with their treatments of 60 days. We used a zeolite mixture, which was an inexpensive zeolite you can get online. We can leave that in the links if you like a little later. It's just very simple. It's $20 for a tube. And then, you know, we did not use cilantro. I was going to have another group with just cilantro, but it just got a little out of hand. The 20 mule team borax or boron is something I've talked about on your show before, Crow.
Yeah, off the shelf at your supermarket. Yes, right. For the people who are about to ask, that is the borax called 20 mule team borax on your grocery store shelf.
And sometimes if you can't find it at the grocery store, you get it at Lowe's or Home Depot. I have spoken on the program about the benefits of it in killing the fungal portion of what I believe is being dropped on us from chemtrails. It's a nanotech kind of fungus thing. But when you neti pot with borax, as I mentioned on the show before, you clear out sinus problems, colds, and flus like you've never seen before. It's one of the panaceas in my practice that people worship me for telling them about, because they've respiratory problems have gone on for so much longer now than ever before. People just can't get rid of a respiratory issue, a cold or a flu. I tell them, and you only do this, as I mentioned on the show before, a couple of times, okay? Maybe one or two, maybe three times in a week, and then you're done with it. You take a pinch of the 20 mule team borax, put it in the neti pot, run it through each nostril. It is unpleasant as hell, so do it in the shower. And it has been a curing mechanism for these ongoing respiratory problems and allergies, which is just a bunch of junk being hidden in the sinuses. So I figured, okay, well, let's use this because I've had such success with it and see if it destroys this nanotech and destroys these signals. And lo and behold, it was a big player up there, right with the zeolite mixture. They were practically identical. Like with Group A had a 93% elimination of the signal.
On average across all four groups?
No, not on average. You know, Group A, which was the single shot people, had a 93% decrease with just the borax.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I see where you're reading from. Go ahead. I think we should go down across the whole thing. It'll be easier for people to understand, I think.
Sure.
In one shot. So basically the zeolite mixture, the total elimination, and that is an average under that, right? The net percentage.
Oh, what, you're down on the last page, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you go with the net, that's probably better. Yeah.
Okay. So the people who took the zeolite, on average across all groups, there was a 93% reduction.
Yes.
In the first group, Group A, they were eliminated 82%. The second group, Group B, 100%. The one person from Group C, 100%, and then nine people from Group D, 100%, proving the value of zeolite, 93% elimination. Now, right up there, neck and neck, and actually superior, depending on how you look at the numbers, is the 20 team borax. In the first group, 18 people were reduced signal by 93%. The second group of four people by 50%. The one person group, Group C, 100%. Lastly, the nine people from Group D eliminated 100%. Where zeolite did a average elimination of 93%, 20 mule team borax did a net elimination of 83%, which leaves us with the blue-green algae administration. The total elimination with just the blue-green algae was 63% on average across all four groups. The first group had 18 people. Group A eliminated by 33%. The second group, Group B, had four people eliminated by 50%. The third group, Group C, had one person, 100% elimination. The last group had nine people. This is Group D, 67%, bringing the average elimination across all four groups to 63%. So, Dr. Schrebing, in my book, this is a screaming example, not just because of what you've shown, but there are three other studies that we can line up side by side if we include the masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the blue-green algae came up the lowest because of contamination, unless you're getting it from a really good organic source. I'm not too sure they're all organic. And I gave people several choices, you know, to pick from, and the dosage and all that kind of stuff. But it is not as good as, let's say, just regular borax that you can get for $4.50 off the shelf. And one box will last you a lifetime if you're taking it as prescribed, which should be internally a pinch in 8 ounces of water 3 times a day. That's it.
Now for the zeolite, did you use the Masterpiece product or other zeolite?
No, we didn't use, I purposely didn't want to use any labels. Which is why, you know, I didn't say get this brand. I just wanted to use the actual compound.
I think that's smart for a number of reasons. It also removes you from the tax that have been going on. But this is the reason Jason and I have been sponsoring Masterpiece with, I think, the only discount you can get on it, because this is the fourth test that shows this zeolite is working.
Yeah.
Dr. Trebbing, we should go in here and you should just quickly sum up, out of the whole group, how many people, when you first saw them, if you were just to give a percentage of the entire group, how many people came to you emanating a Mac or a Bluetooth signal?
Out of the 126 test subjects?
Yeah.
Well, that was, let me see. I don't think I have that up.
Yeah, there. I'm sorry. I'm asking you a question that wasn't averaged in the
data.
Well,
let's, it's 126. We can do the math right here.
Yep.
So that's 60, 70, 74, 77 people out of 126. So that's 7,700 divided by 126 comes up to 61%.
So over half showed up emanating a signal.
Yeah, over half. And that includes all those groups we talked about. So 61% showed up with a signal.
Now that 61%, is that every one of them that took the COVID shot?
No. I had 126 subjects, okay, volunteers, and Crow read that in the beginning that there were, I don't know if you did or not, there's a lot of numbers.
36 people didn't have the shot.
36 didn't have it. Four people, I think I read this, yeah, four people received three or more. 14 got one or two. Yeah, some, you know, got more than one. Yeah, so two. And then only one shot was only 72 people. Yeah. That was my biggest group of concerned people, by the way, because they very much regretted getting it. A lot of them had come in for heart symptoms. A lot of them had to go to cardiologists. I haven't had, well, I shouldn't say that. My father-in-law died. So that was the biggest. He died literally 5 weeks after receiving the COVID shot.
Oh.
And that was a real tragedy. And so, but in my practice, I know of one who definitely died, but it was, you know, she's 86 years old.
I know 15 people.
Yep.
And all of them, almost all the white people got clots and strokes. Almost all the black people got heart attacks. Well, my one white friend that I grew up with, who was the healthiest among us, died of a heart attack.
I've had many with heart symptoms.
Right.
I don't have an awful lot of black patients, but I had you know, primarily Caucasian, Spanish, and especially in the older Latino population that I have, they had a lot of heart trouble. And what I mean is angina, having to go to the emergency room, having to go to a cardiologist, and really regretting that they took the death jab.
One of the nurses that was helping take care of my mother is one of the people that's no longer with us.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
But this is the other thing. Another reason we put the Masterpiece up, Jason, if I'm not mistaken, there is an algae mixture within the Masterpiece, isn't there? Or am I remembering that wrong?
It's a sea plasma.
It's a sea plasma. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Masterpiece is only zeolite plus their own proprietary sea salt type thing.
Yeah. It's to add nutrition back in, since zeolite does pull things out.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I didn't even speak about that with my people. I just, you know, just said eat a good diet.
Weren't the numbers a little bit higher with a smaller sample? I think in the Masterpiece study, the on average removal was a higher number, but it was quite a few less people.
Yeah, you need to have a larger, even more than 126 would do. I mean, I don't have the capability to do this. It took a lot of staff time and overtime pay for my staff and, you know, to do this. I mean, this was really a labor of love, and I just love to nerd out with studies and math and everything like that. So when I when I saw this, I was like, ooh, okay. I was like wringing my hands. I really wanted to get into this. I mean, halfway through, I was kind of begrudging him, saying, oh my God, what have I got myself into here? So, and that was with 126 people. But we really need a research group to be able to do this in an organized way with 1,000 people.
Right.
That would be fantastic.
Let's talk about what this means, because we're saying MAC address, we're saying Bluetooth signal. So let's actually explain to people. If you want to know what a MAC address is, just do a quick internet search. I've defined it a number of times, but you use a phone. You probably have a network at your home. So when you look at the little definition, you'll begin to know. But what this basically means, Jason and I have talked about the Internet of Things for a long time. While we were talking about the Internet of Things, like your stove and your toaster and everything in the world they want to put on the Internet of Things, they started to talk about what role people played in the Internet of Things. Well, newsflash, there is now a thing called the Internet of Bodies. What it means to show up with a MAC address is you are potentially a node in a network. Would you frame that any more specifically or differently, Dr. Trevin?
No, that's a perfect explanation. I mean, they're turning, it's the best example I can give to this, and Jason will agree, is from Star Trek. It's the Borg assimilation.
Yeah.
It's the Borg. We are the Borg. Resistance is futile.
So I'm going to give the blunt example. I called the Cox guy. He came to my house to scan my network. He says, oh, I see your TV. Oh, your refrigerators. I can see your refrigerator. There's your Wi-Fi. There's all the things you got plugged into your network. I can see. Who's George? I see George is on your network. Betty? Who's Betty? Betty is on. You know, I'm being facetious, but I'm not. Who could have dreamed in the last millennia that in the 21st century, human beings would be walking around emanating a MAC address, thereby basically being a node in a network?
Yep. That's exactly right. And people are clueless to it. They're clueless. Just clueless to it.
Now, if you took the shot, do you automatically get the MAC address? Is it one shot that will do it, or is it just the potential?
That's a really good question. I mean, I have studied people that have not had a MAC address that have had shots. Yeah. And as you see from all my different groups, the only one that was 100% was the group of four, just four people who had received three or more doses. Group A and B, who received one and two shots, they were high up there, but nobody else was 100%. So there are cases, many cases actually, not the majority by any means, but people that have received the shot and they do not emanate the MAC address. But here's something else, guys, that I have noticed, and I have maintained this for decades, especially in my book, Goodbye Germ Theory, that not everybody gets the same shot. Some people get saline.
Yep.
And you know why? They purposely put that in as a control group.
It's three-card Monty. We covered it.
They had to.
Yeah.
Because too many people would have dropped too quickly.
Exactly. They've got to have a percentage of the population where nothing happens, and they're verbal about it. They're like, what are you talking about? I got the shot. Nothing happened to me. That's what they want.
It gives them great deniability.
Right.
You have to have it. Part of the scam.
It's literally this strategy behind three-card Monty. And I talked to a person who participated. Did anyone not figure out why all the doses came frozen? First of all, people that I know did calculations and they're in the industry. And I heard it took at least 10 to 20 years to produce that many doses, which is why it was frozen. Can't prove it, can't disprove it, but why did it come frozen?
But it's logic.
Right.
You would think that this had to happen.
So the three-card Monty thing, we knew a person who was tasked with all the leftover cases of this stuff to organize it, to calculate it, and get it off to storage. While they were doing it, they had all three types, and they noticed there was a difference in the way they looked. This person, maybe I better be careful how I say this. Let me put it this way. So each of the types was tested, and one of them was saline, and it was the one that looked perfectly clear. So it's not just being surmised here. There's actually more to it than that. But anyhow, go ahead, Dr. Trevin.
Well, yeah, Crow, they do the same thing with the measles vaccine. They do it with all the vaccines, all of the ones that are fully required of children. There's always a set of the population that does not get, I mean, perhaps it's not saline, but they don't get the lethal dose.
It's inert.
They don't get, they don't get the dose that creates autism.
Did you know that, Jason?
Well, I knew it about the COVID shots. I didn't know it about the more standard ones.
And believe me, it is certainly along, do I want to say race lines? I believe so, because there were several studies that I've spoken about before. I have it on my blog on saynotovaccines.org. Whereas, why do you think the minority, the black population in particular, I mean, they really wanted to get rid of powerful black men as a political force, okay? And they've effectively done that, because the highest amount of autism are black males.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look back to the 20s and 30s, the early eugenics movement, and they blatantly said that they think these people are animals and they want to get rid of them. And that's why you saw the abortion clinics springing up in black neighborhoods first.
I have two families that I'm friends with, and they all say of the four autistic children in the two family groups, they all say it came from the father's side. And I was told this yesterday when I was talking with one of these people, and I was thinking, why would that be genetic? But listen to what you just said. You said it's coming through the male side.
Well, and when when they want to hide something, they always say it's genetic. You know, oh, it's just genetic. You know, the increase in homosexuals everywhere. Oh, it's genetic. You know, no, it's not. We have suppression of hormones going on from everything from the vaccine you received to Captain Crunch, right? And this is happening globally. This is a campaign against testosterone.
Right. It happened to frogs, if you remember.
Yeah, and everybody criticized Alex Jones about that, right? I mean, he was yelling and screaming that. I mean, he's a character. That's how he
literally.
Well, that's how he makes his millions. He yells and screams. I'm not saying he's wrong, you know, but the way he goes about doing it certainly makes him money. But
that's the atrazine, by the way, for everybody who doesn't know what we're talking
about. Exactly. Right. But that's not the only thing. That's not the only thing. There are so many things in our environment. Just saran wrap and the plastics that you put your food in, your containers in.
The dye on the receipts that you get at the store.
The dye on, exactly. There's so many things that just assault your thyroid, your thymus, your pineal, your gonads, your testes, your ovaries on an ongoing basis. And it's that old adage, you put a frog in a nice warm pot, he doesn't know he's being cooked until the very end, right? And it just over time. And that's what's happened to humanity over the last 4 or 5 decades, especially since the advent of these vaccination programs, which I've talked about here quite a bit. They're killing you softly. They don't care how long it takes, as long as they gain their utopian vision of full control and erasing basically everything we've known about natural biology and humanity. Will they accomplish it? I mean, they've already accomplished it to a certain extent. And shows like this, work like what you do, Crow, with your telescope and exposés that you do persistently here on this program, this at least gets the information out so that we can mount some sort of fighting back.
Minimally. We are very suppressed.
Oh, yeah. In so many different ways. It's not just from nanotech, okay? And we could talk about this for another 5 hours.
So there was another interesting part at the end of the masterpiece study with far fewer people. And we absolutely need to see a study done with thousands of people. But that was what happened after. And I noticed you do have some data that you collected after the treatments, right? About who came back clean or if they picked it up again. Can we talk about that?
Well, all I have on that actually is on the very last page. I have the percentage that it all went down. So overall, like we had mentioned, if you add up all of those, you know, group A they went from 81% signal to 44% signal, right? That was the one-shot people. Group B, who were the two-shot people, went from 86% of them in signal to 43%. So this looks like in those two groups, it was 50%. Right around there, right around 50% reduction elimination of the signal.
Yep.
Of course, the highest group was group C there. There's only four people in it, but that was cut down from 100% down to 25%. Well, that's something,
that's
right?
Big.
you have four people. I mean, three of them aren't emitting the signal anymore, right? And the people who weren't vaccinated at all or didn't take the death shot, it, you know, more or less went from 8% to 3%. That's kind of my control group, that group. They were so low to begin with. That's not the one I'm really concerned about. I'm concerned about groups A, B, and C. And in all of those, I think that the average percentage is somewhere around 50, 55% reduction, which means that the remedies that we use, the zeolites and the borax and the glucuronide, to some extent, were putting the kibosh on the, what I believe, the graphenes and the metals and the tech somehow. I also believe that there is a toxic fungal component to all of this and parasitic.
This was limited in time too, though, Dr. Trebbing. So you did a study here for a limited time.
Yeah.
To me, what you demonstrated is this is effective. And if it was employed as an ongoing strategy, you could expect to achieve real results. That's what I gained from this.
Even better results, right?
Better than better. I mean, even at the lowest numbers, that's pretty damn good.
Suppose that people listening to your program right now took this stuff seriously.
Right.
And they're like, huh, it doesn't really take me much to sprinkle a pinch into like a cooking pinch of borax. Yeah. In water three times a day. And you know, what the heck? It gets me drinking 8 ounces of water.
Or five drops of Masterpiece under your tongue, or it's zeolite some other way. It's not a lot of work.
This is not a lot of work. Exactly. Right. It takes 15 seconds. Why don't I just do it anyway? Now, much like the chelation program that we do, to get out heavy metals, lead, cadmium especially, which is a big cancer causer, which we'll probably be talking about in the second hour.
Yeah.
Tin, a lot of these other heavy metals that come out with chelation elements, oral chelation elements. You know, there's a figure of time that you have to go through with this. And the other problem is that, you know, our environment is so polluted that it's just ongoing, right? So you need some sort of ongoing purification to counteract it.
So do you guys remember when Covidius minimus hit? For about a week or two, there were all these videos up of people taking a magnet and it would stick to the arm that just got the shot, but not the other arm. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
sure do. Yep. That was in the Masterpiece study too. They showed something about that.
So what I wanted to ask Dr. Trebbing is, everyone's kind of saying this is nanotech and other things, but I want your point of view. Did they just put the component that can be tapped from outside, or did they put the actual signal in you? And you see what I'm getting at? Is it the thing that can then be utilized from outside to activate or to do whatever, or did it go in from the get-go?
Is it broadcasting itself?
Right. Is it truly nanotech?
Well, I think that the magnets on the arm indicated certainly that there was something magnetic in the body. That would be the graphenes. Right, which, so they have to be a component. I believe that certain shots had more in there too. Yeah, sophisticated technology that purposely emanates signals. And I also think that they're synergistic.
If I'm wrong, shouldn't you be able to take your detector up to a vial that has not been injected yet and scan it and get a signal?
Oh, absolutely. Good luck in doing that.
Because you can't get it. You can't get at the product. But if you could, would you get a signal?
Listen, they'll shoot you dead. You try to get vaccines to analyze them. We won't see you anymore. And this happened in 2002. A number of chiropractors, three of them, did just that. They stole a bunch of vaccines, and they were going to. They were in the process of analyzing them. They did analyze them. They found nagalase, which is a cancer-causing enzyme. It's an enzyme that cancer cells release in order to suppress white blood cells. They found that they were putting that in all the different vaccines, DPT, whatever, measles. And they wound up being shot and thrown in the river in North Carolina. Yeah, you can probably find the stories about this on the Wayback Machine. But you remember when a lot of healthcare, natural healthcare practitioners and ones that spoke out against the pharmaceutical companies, remember when they were all being killed or dying or committing suicide? Remember that? There was a period of time that my wife was really concerned about me, you know, and it was from right when my last child was born, around 2002, all the way through 2015, this was happening.
Alex Jones actually covered that.
A lot of healthcare practitioners were getting sad and committing suicide.
So what do you think, Dr. Trebbing? If I could get a scanner on a vial, it's clear that we can't, but would you expect to find the signal there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, good luck trying to do it. I mean, these things are protected. I mean, it's like Fort Knox. You wouldn't be able to get a sample of a vaccine. I mean, you think they want this stuff getting out there?
Not even interested in trying. Yeah, not even interested in trying.
Well, and you don't want them to think that you are. You can't get it anyway. You got guys with machine guns protecting these shots. You know, you're never going to get one. And if you did and were able to do it, it would be something. It really would be an eye-opening, and we're able to broadcast it somehow through media, through television, through a show like this. They would catch wind of it before you got the broadcast out, I guarantee you.
Do you agree with the numbers that a very bright friend of mine calculated that said conservatively 10 to 20 years to produce that number of doses, which is why it was all freeze-dried or, you know, deep froze or whatever it was?
Absolutely. For the sophistication of a death shot, yes, you need a lot of time.
That means almost last century they were already had this tech.
Yeah, well, look at all the clues they give you in the movies. I mean, they tell you they're going to do all this stuff before they do it, right?
Sure do.
Look at you guys have talked about 9/11 and Back to the Future and all the obvious signs they put in there. And look at the Charlie Kirk murder, right? I mean, they gave it in that one movie. It's part of this method of control, this crazy world that we're living in. I mean, part of the rules, for whatever reason, part of the rules are that they have to let you know. They have to tell you somehow what they're doing to you.
It's universal law, yeah.
Yeah. So somehow they balance out the slate that way.
Do they? They think they do.
Think
I
they
don't
do,
agree
but,
with that.
But this,
I
but
think
this is
the
how
whole
they do
thing
it.
Isn't, yeah, it's a crime, and they're putting lipstick on a pig, and they're saying that's not a pig. It's still a pig.
Right. And they control the population in so many ways through media and the work you guys have done with music and the Beatles and everything else like that.
What about just the death of entertainers?
Yeah.
We've demonstrated that so much of that, the big names, is staged. Well, why? Why is it always a suicide or something? Think about a whole lifetime lived. How much has that contributed to our subconscious mind being convinced that there's no way you're really living much beyond 75 if you're lucky?
No.
What if you lived in an environment where that wasn't inserted into your mind, along with the national averages and everything you're told in school? But all these people that are your living example, which are called stars, because people learn by example. And if you go back through and look at how they died and how frequently, you can really begin to deduce the effect that would have on a world population.
I got a crow question for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Did they die?
No.
There you go.
Well, what they did,
recycled.
It's called what they did. It's called character assassination.
Yeah, exactly.
And as a matter of fact, our good friend Sting has a little song about it. It's murder by numbers. 1, 2, 3. It's as easy to learn as your wait for it. A, B, C. A plus B is 3. C is 3. A, B, C is 33. In Sting's song, he's telling you that character assassination is as easy as it could be.
Right. And people are doing work on this all over with saying how one of the quote unquote stars become somebody else. And yeah, so this type of thing.
All the big ones that you've known, all the big A players, and the idea that the struggling kid went to Hollywood and made it in the big rock band, became world famous number one, or made it onto the big screen. It may have happened in the world, but if it did, that was the oddity.
Right, right. Yeah, well, they say the same thing with Trump, too. There's like four or five of him.
He's just a character, too. Charlie Kirk was just a character.
Right.
They're all characters. In the same way, when we're born, a character is invented from the so-called afterbirth. And that character is used to leverage you to take responsibility for the character, because you don't know that it's not you because it has your name.
Right, right. And people generally think so three-dimensionally, right?
All the world is stage is maybe the truest cliche that has ever been uttered.
Yeah, yeah. People just, I mean, and they're, every time you turn on the television, if you turn the television on, it's a constant bombardment of left and right, right and wrong. It's this side, that side, and it never ends. When does it end? It never ends. And if you get stuck in that, you're susceptible to everything. Hey, stand for something or you're going to fall for everything, right? That's one of the best pieces of advice I could tell everybody.
The good example of that, Jason and I have covered a number of times, that's the red, blue mind virus.
Yeah.
I mean, if there is a more divisive thing, I don't know what it might be. It's done more damage to our country than nearly anything else. And it's so bad now, you see clips of people won't date unless they know your political leaning. That's ridiculous. And to top it off, this whole technology sweep, all these kids that are in their 30s now, I guess those aren't kids anymore, but these young people that are in their 30s now, they're not getting married. They're not having children. And I'll tell you something. When I was coming up as a young man, one of the toughest things I remember was, how do I approach a girl and ask her to go out or ask her to dance? I mean, almost to the point of passing out.
Yep. I remember those
days. That's how severe it was for a young man, which I have a firsthand perspective of. Well, why is it that that's not happening? I'll tell you why. Had I been back then making sure I wasn't going to pass out as I approached the girl, I was also trying to make sure a bunch of her friends weren't around in case I failed. You do it now, there's 10 cameras on you.
Exactly.
That's why it's not happening. One of the reasons. It's the panopticon. It's Argos. It's Medea and Argos from the Greek myth.
Yep.
And these things are all being leveraged in a way that is having an outcome. But we're coming to the top of the hour. Why don't you quickly start to give cliff notes on what we're going to cover in hour two?
Sure. Hour two, we're going into a discussion of the efficacy and the benefits of killing cancer, getting it out of your body, eradicating it by using natural methods, especially anti-parasite medications. It is not hokey pokey. It's not airy fairy either. There are so many studies out there being done, not in the United States. Some of them are being done in the United States, but most of them are in other countries, especially Europe, Mexico, and PubMed, that is a mainstream house for publishing scientific data, is filled with articles on this. And anybody can just go anti-parasites and cancer and come up with 15 PubMed articles, especially regarding ivermectin. But ivermectin isn't the only one. There are several ones that are used in conjunction that many people are doing right now. And parasites and cancer cells share mitochondrial DNA and they share enzymes. So this is how the anti-parasite drug is able to recognize a cancer cell and kill it in a non-toxic way. How about that?
So also, you have firsthand experience with success, what we're going to cover. Also,
yes.
We can't talk about it in hour one, but in hour two, Dr. Trebbing gave me some information about ivermectin. I remember how hard it was to get during COVID. It became public enemy number one. Well, we've got a little something to say about that. Jason, anything you want to add before I have the good doctor give his information?
Do you have anything you want to follow up with? Since you've done this study, is there something else you have in mind, or do you think that this is conclusive and anything further would probably be out of your realm?
Yeah, I think so. I'm hoping that somebody that has the time and resources, because I certainly don't, to be able to commence a larger scale study on this would be so beneficial. And it would really start getting the word out there.
Yep.
The word is out there amongst our group of people who are aware and awake, and people really need to know this. They can't even fathom that they would have something electronic ticking inside of them that was put in them through a vaccine or through the environment.
You're a network node.
Yeah, network. It's like I was saying before, we are the Borg. They're assimilating us into something that is not human. And I believe that that's the ultimate goal with this. And people really need to remember what actually happened during COVID, okay? I mean, that was, besides all the lying, they put up all of this microwave technology and what appears to be cameras, but it's not. It's just, these are microwave receivers. They put them everywhere you look, on top of lampposts, outside your own neighborhood, on top of streetlights. It's everywhere. As soon as they decide to push the button and start another pandemic solely through what you're experiencing in the environment on a energetic microwave level now.
The Invisible Rainbow.
The Invisible Rainbow. That's a very important book.
Very.
And now, if you can focus that, you could really be Lex Luthor, right? And just make anybody drop dead that you want to. And I believe that that's where the next pandemic is going to come from. And send people running for more crazy shots that are going to just make them more into the Borg.
You're the first person I've heard say that, and I've thought it for a long time. So we should say here, if this starts going on again, kill your Wi-Fi and Faraday cage your room.
Absolutely. Faraday cage your house.
If you can. Yeah. One of the ways that may work is to put a hell of a lot of crushed shungite into wall paint. But Dr. Trebbing, I'm going to wrap up our, maybe I should call you Locutus for the rest of this episode.
No, not me. I'm definitely not assimilated.
Yeah. Oh, you've already treated yourself. So it's just me and Jason. Well, actually, I'm doing the masterpiece. This is why. Few drops under your dang tongue, maybe you don't have to be Locutus. Yeah. But anyhow, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back for hour two. There's a ton more information just because we can't always drop everything in hour one, or it gets pulled from places and benefits nobody. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crrow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Non-members can simply go to the site without logging in. Members get access to everything. The two-hour film called Shoot the Moon, it has 10 awards in the world. It's got 7 lunar waves, so many UFO-type things I can't even tell you, some unexplainable things, and the first discovery of the so-called second sun. Also, all the forums and chats and things like that, and exclusive access to my current solar telescope work. With that, we're going to take a short, very short break. We're going to be back for hour two, and there is a ton more critical information in hour two. So I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. I hope to see you logged in as a member for hour two, and we will talk about the ivermectin thing. There it is, man. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.